folk singers, hustlers, and samurai. All are part of this year's holiday film lineup. John Serba, entertainment reporter and film critic for MLive and the Grand Rapids Press, gave current state's Emmanuel Berry the rundown of this season's upcoming films. They started with The Bad, which included two films starring Robert De Niro.
De Niro's kind of doing the same thing he's been doing for a long time and probably just cashing the paycheck and not challenging himself. But it's especially egregious because he's co-starring with Sylvester Stallone in a movie about old guys who are former boxing rivals who get back in the ring with each other.
And that's called Grudge Match.
Yes, it's called Grudge Match. And you just, you know, both of these guys, their iconic roles are boxers. You know, De Niro is Jake LaMotta and Raging Bull, and of course, Stallone is Rocky, and it just seems extra exploitation-y.
He's also going to be in Las Vegas, which is The Hangover with old people. The cast members, Michael Douglas, Morgan Freeman, Kevin Kline, what are these guys doing? Is this worth watching for the spectacle of it, at least?
I don't know. I mean, these are all really, really great actors.
Yeah.
but just the concept is just so awful and cloying. And I don't know if I could stomach it. You know, you just look at the trailer and you just cringe. I mean, and there have been these type of movies before, like Space Cowboys with Clint Eastwood and Tommy Lee Jones as the you know, old guy astronauts and things like that. But this seems like, you know, more of an awful mainstream comedy and an excuse to, you know, make Viagra jokes.
All right, yeah. Enough with the bad films, because there are actually so many good films that I am actually dying to see this holiday season. So let's start with American Hustle, directed by David C. Russell. It's got stellar cast. We've got Christian Bale, Bradley Cooper, Jeremy Renner, Amy Adams, Jennifer Lawrence. There's a great cast, a great director. Is the story going to hold up?
I don't want to say he's due to make a bad movie, but let's face it, he took the best elements of his last two films, The Fighter and Silver Linings Playbook, and put them together. So you've got this, like, super movie. and it's set in the 70s, and, you know, if I was a gambling man, I would say there's going to be a bunch of Oscar nominations coming out of this. This is going to be well worth seeing. If it's as good as Silver Linings or The Fighter, I don't know. But even if it's not that good, it'll still be pretty good. So, and Louis C.K. is in it as well, and he's just,
yeah. How's,
you know,
how's a comedian going to do in a more serious role?
Well, Louis C.K. I think has proved himself to be a pretty versatile guy. If you've ever seen his FX show Louis, which he writes and directs and stars in, and you know that's his baby and his project. I frankly wish he wouldn't star in other people's movies and just keep doing that show.
Yeah.
But you know, to add him into the mix, why not? The more the merrier.
Well, another film that I'm really looking forward to seeing is Inside Llewyn Davis. This is a Coen Brothers film. They've retold Homer's Odyssey. They've done classic westerns. What's the story of this film?
It stars Oscar Isaac, who was in Drive, and he was really underappreciated in Drive. So he's kind of a newcomer, and he's playing a folk singer in the early 60s. He lives in New York City, and he's trying to make a name for himself in that scene. The vibe I'm getting from this is that people are comparing this to A Serious Man, which was a couple of Coen Brothers movies ago, which is one of their more understated efforts. Mm-hmm. And I also think it's one of their best ones, you know. I mean, you love True Grit, and you love Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? They're these big movies with big characters. But they can do the small ones really well, too, and I'm absolutely fascinated to see this. And the throwback to Oh Brother is they have T-Bone Burnett producing the soundtrack to this as well.
Yeah,
so,
and he's pairing with Marcus Mumford. I actually have, this is a clip of the lead Isaac. He's accompanied by Mumford on this song called Fare Thee Well.
If I had wings like Noah's dove, I'd fly the river to the one I love. fare thee well, my honey, fare thee well.
After seeing Oscar Isaac in Drive, I wouldn't really think he had that voice, but this guy seems to be an actor of many talents. Do you kind of see this as a breakout role for him in any ways?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, he's getting the chance to work with, you know, some of the best filmmakers in the business right now. So if they don't see it in him, he doesn't have it. So this may be a breakout role. I think the potential for this movie is really high because that's a really rich kind of setting. I'm sure it'll have some of those typical Coen Brothers idiosyncratic elements as well. So
we have two veterans in the next film. I want to talk about Emma Thompson and Tom Hanks in a Disney movie about making a Disney movie. Oh, just the untold story of the making of Mary Poppins, which centers around some creative differences between Walt Disney and the author P.L. Tavers.
Mary Poppins is not for sale. I won't have her turned into one of your silly cartoons.
Says the woman who sent a flying nanny with a talking umbrella to save the children.
Seems like an interesting story, but I was a little surprised to see this on your most anticipated list. Why do you want to see this?
Well, because I'm a fan of the movies. Let's face it. And this is a story that I don't think a lot of people realize that it, you know, Mary Poppins was a movie 20 years in development. And obviously it became, you know, one of the most cherished musicals of all time. And, first of all, two reasons. Emma Thompson really hasn't done a lot of meaty, interesting things in quite a while, which is kind of upsetting, frankly.
She's great, yeah.
Yeah, she's amazing. She has such charisma. And then Tom Hanks playing Walt Disney, it's like... Duh! Of course you're going to cast Tom Hanks as Walt Disney. So to see them together in this kind of film, in a movie about the movies, I think this has a chance to go to Oscar. You know, they're already talking Tom Hanks getting a couple of Oscar nods this year for this and Captain Phillips, which opened a few weeks ago.
The year of Tom Hanks. Welcome,
yeah,
everyone.
Yeah, maybe.
This holiday season, we also have a couple of films based off of books. We have the second part of the Hobbit trilogy, The Desolation of Smaug. I was actually surprisingly disappointed with The Hobbit. Do I give this one a chance? Do I let Peter Jackson take another $10 from me?
I think so. I mean, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, I think, is one of the most remarkable filmmaking achievements ever. It's such a stunning, you know, 10 hours of film. And so he's kind of, you go into these movies with a lot more expectations than you might with anything else. At least I do, you know. And so seeing the first Hobbit, it was a little disappointing because it seemed a little too drawn out, a little too many side trips off the main path, you know. The dwarves just they're must. How many hairdressers do they have on set for these dwarves?
Right.
You know, everyone talks about the Boston Red Sox beards. What about these dwarves?
It's ridiculous.
I think if the first Lord of the Rings trilogy is any indication, the first movie there was the weakest as well, you know, because it's setting everything up, you know, and hopefully that the Hobbit trilogy can kind of build on that kind of momentum as well. Obviously introducing the dragon, and he's voiced by Benedict Cumberbatch.
Come now, don't be shy. Step in.
Who's one of the hottest names in Hollywood right now. I think that'll give this a little shot in the arm. Tolkien fans are going to go see this anyway. They loved the first movie. They're absolutely apologetic about it in every way. You know, they're going to defend it. Last year, the first Hobbit movie was one of the top grossing international movies of the entire year. There's no reason this isn't going to be a hit, even if you walk out of it going, it was no Return of the King.
Nothing is ever Return of the King. No. Another work of literature turned film we have coming out is The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. And this is actually the second time it's been on the silver screen. The first time being in 1947, starring funny man Danny Kaye.
Starring Danny Kaye. Eight times as funny in eight hilarious roles. One as Walter Mitty, the dauntless sea rover. Anatole Mitty, the Mad Hatter. Captain Mitty, ace of aces.
The original Walter Mitty highly deviated from the original work of the story. Ben Stiller's doing this version. Is it going to feel more true to Thurber's version, or is this all Ben Stiller's imagination and with his own flavor?
Well, I think it might be a little bit of both. If I recall correctly, the original was criticized for not being as true to Thurber.
Yeah.
And obviously this one is set in the modern day. And I'm pretty sure Thurber didn't write in scenes with his characters talking on cell phones.
Yeah, so, probably not. Probably not.
And you know, obviously special effects and things like that have come a long way. So I think you're gonna see more integrated, more visually interesting fantasy sequences. Ben Stiller, I don't know if people realize, is a pretty darn good director. You know, I don't know if he's quite the Ben Affleck, but he did Tropic Thunder a few years ago, and that was really quite good. And this will be interesting because he's got a pretty good cast behind him: Sean Penn, Kristen Wiig, Patton Oswalt has a role, Shirley MacLaine is in it, and it's a story that a lot of people, anyone who paid attention and did their homework in English class, are familiar with this story.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it'll be interesting to see what Stiller, what he does with it.
One genre that's we're kind of missing this holiday season is comedy, except for with the exception of Anchorman. Is there anything else we're going to be able to laugh at this season?
Well, even though they're not billed as straightforward comedies, there will be comedic elements in movies like American Hustle and Llewyn Davis, just because, you know, those filmmakers do a really good job of kind of defying categorization. Otherwise, you know, the stuff that is, you know, manufactured to be comedies like Anchorman 2, that is going to be a big hit, I think, just because there's kind of a dearth of real quality comedies coming out in the next couple of months. We talked about Grudge Match, that's a comedy. Last Vegas is a comedy. There's another Tyler Perry Madea Christmas movie coming out. I think Anchorman is really going to, you know, flourish. And it might also be that the studios are looking and going, we're not going to compete with Anchorman 2. Let's release our movie in the spring.
Lastly, as you mentioned in your MLI preview online, we have no Twilight this holiday season. Are we going to make it, John? Can we survive without Twilight?
I fuel myself with hatred for Twilight movies and Adam Sandler films. There's no Adam Sandler films this holiday season either. So what am I going to find to really strongly dislike? You know, I don't know. It's going to be a surprise this year, perhaps.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading it. John, as always, it's a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you for having me on, as always.
John Serba, entertainment reporter and film critic for MLive and the Grand Rapids Press.